Father, we can only agree, and as we look back in our lives, we can just say, great is your faithfulness. We want to thank you that we experience your involvement, we experience your knowing every detail of our lives. Nothing goes unnoticed. And what a joy to be loved by you, Father. What a joy to know that we are safe in your love. What a joy to know that as we look back at your faithfulness, we can look forward knowing that you are the God that has not changed and you are still faithful. And so what a joy that we can go into the tomorrow, Father, with you. Never alone. We're never on our own, but together with you, we go into our future. So we want to thank you as today we just reflect a little bit on your faithfulness, of how you watch over your word, of your goodness, just on what you share with us and how you go about preparing us, working in our lives, helping us so much to be able to move into all that you have destined for our lives. So we thank you for what you are sharing with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry this morning as you minister. And we can come in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, and just declare that your kingdom is here with us. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And we can just declare that over here and over our town, over our families, over our nation, Jesus, your kingdom is over this nation. And we thank you for how you are moving profoundly as the King of Kings, advancing and just moving with your army, rising up here in the core, this glorious army of yours, just coming out and letting the reality of your kingdom light shine so brightly within us, knowing that as we move, oh, darkness cannot prevail. So we want to thank you for the awakening taking place in your family. And we want to thank you as we've been praying, Father, that we may be one as you and the Father are one. You are light, and we will be one, so full of your light. And we want to thank you as by your Spirit, anything that is a bit dusty, anything that's hiding the light a little bit, we want to thank you as we yield to you and say, let your light shine so brightly in and through our lives so that the world can see who you really are. And we thank you for what you are doing, for your glory and for your honor in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Eddie was sharing on Wednesday night from Timothy, and I want to read that because it's very relevant to what's happening this morning, where Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction, and this is important. I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are, and they mentioned a few folk over there. So we notice the importance when God speaks and gives the prophetic word concerning one's destiny. It's important for us to use that in our warfare, in going forwards, in helping us to be able to live out in that word that God has spoken. I want to just see if I've got it over here in another translation, because it's let me read it in another translation as well. So, Timothy, my son, I am entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life. Now, and that was Timothy now pastoring a church. in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life, and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry, in keeping with the prophecies spoken over you. With this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons as you wage spiritual warfare by faith with a clean conscience. For there are many who reject these virtues and are destitute of the true faith. And he carries on again. So once again, we see here, it's so important for you and I to when we know that God has spoken in through the scriptures, the prophetic word, whatever it may be that we know, but God, you have spoken to us, it's important not to shell them. It's important to use them and helping us to stay focused on running our race that God has called us to run. And so with that in mind, I felt led just to share a little bit again, as we've been praying for the body of Christ in John 17, just to highlight just a few. I could speak maybe 10 hours non-stop on this journey, but just to speak very briefly on just a few of the steps that was vital for us as a family of God in understanding our destiny and understanding our purpose, our reason for being in a town, for being in a nation, and for being in this world. And I want to just share a little bit of that. I want to start in Matthew chapter 9. And it's that teaching that Jesus gives about the new wineskins. Many years ago, as God was busy working in my life and amongst many of the folk that were here at that time, and there was a stirring to know that there's more to church than what we were currently experiencing. And what I did was that I went and for 3 days I went for prayer and fasting on a farm. And on the second day, and I'm seeking God, what's your direction? This what we are currently experiencing, this is not life. There's something missing in church, kind of thing. And so this was one of the scriptures that I was meditating on. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples that came and asked him about the fasting and so forth. And then he speaks about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And he says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do this, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and all the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. And on the second day, as I'm there just praying, I have an encounter with Jesus. And he asked me this question, and I've shared this many times, but it's a reminder to look back to see the faithfulness of God, but also to help us in waging the war that we are in. And so he asked me this question. He asked me, what man-made constitution is able to contain my fullness? And I said, Lord, whatever man makes is too small. It's just pathetic, really. And he said, exactly. And then he gave me the invite. And he said to me, allow me to be your constitution so that we can all grow up into the fullness of God. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul prays for that in verse 13. And also in chapter 3, verse 19, where Paul also prays from the love that we may have overflow in the fullness of God. And so I came back and shared with the leadership that we're going to put aside our constitution because that's man-made. It's rules and regulations, it's expectations, it's how a church institution runs. And Jesus is our constitution. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and we're going to follow Jesus. He is the King, He's the Lord, He's the Head. And we're going to step out in faith. And Greg was part of the decision making over there, Dickie, that time. Leslie Ann's husband Keith was also part of the decision making at that time. William, I think you were also at that time. But what took place then was that we just decided to walk in faith, and that, without me realizing, was the beginning, was the starting point where Jesus was beginning to lead us out of a church mindset and to start it to lead us over many years into the reality of a kingdom mindset. You see, with a church mindset controlled by man-made rules and regulations of a constitution, there's always fighting, there's always manipulation, there's always argument, there's always who's going to win the battle, it's always my way, and if you don't do this, mate, and there was all that there. In the kingdom, there's no such thing. Because Christ is the King and it's just, yes, Lord. You see. And so we were so caught up in, let me tell you, I don't know if you were in the meetings at that time, Greg, but all I asked was, let's get a stepladder to change light bulbs. Now comes the factory safety rules and regulations. You can't just have a stepladder. You've got to build this monstrous kind of thing. And for hours and hours and hours, a debate on changing a light bulb. So eventually I went and bought a stepladder. We still got it. And then I said to the guys, from now onwards, we're not going to have a leadership meeting. It's going to be a spiritual encounter, a spiritual meeting. And that was a bit frightening for leaders because they didn't want to have a spiritual leading. And that started the exodus because the words that people would say to me when they would leave, they say, we're not in control anymore. We're leaving. Because Jesus is now the King of Kings. He is our constitution. And many people would not want to surrender. They wanted control. And so people left. And so that was a very big step without us realizing the consequences in the days that lie ahead and going into the future. From slowly but surely moving out of a church mindset, church practice, church way of thinking, into the reality of the kingdom. And as you can see, part of that process was the tithing and the offerings. And you can see we don't take collection there. There's a free will there if anybody wants there or what's on heart. Because whenever we took the offering, I just sensed a death sentence over the service. It was like, oh man, something is woof after the offering. Because it was obligation. It was duty. It wasn't love. See, when you tithe or give, it's from a heart of love to Jesus. But that it was now to support, because part of being a membership, you've got to support financially the church. Church mindset. So it was like this cloud that came over the service after the collection. So Steve and I, we chatted and we said, no, let's stop this. Because people must give from a place of love unto Jesus Christ, not to a system, not to an institution, but because they love Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's how we've run ever since, from a place of love and not from duty. There's kingdom and the understanding of resources. Whatever we do, it's faith expressed through love. And so that's how, and ever since we've been going that route. So you won't have me wanting to manipulate you with money. I won't give you a Bible scripture to make you feel guilty about giving. Just, you're tithe because you're tithing to Jesus. That's it, you love Him. You give whatever it may be because you're giving, you love Jesus. And that's it. So that's how we've been going. So that was a very important decision that we took place. Now, another step, I'm just sharing a little thing over here, was that God then started to share with us. Let me read you that prophetic word many years ago. Because He started to speak about a church without walls. Now this was way back in 2013, February 2013. I call on my church, and there was still church language at that time, because that's what we understood. My church without walls. I call on my body, I am rising, to meet my call. For I prepare you before for that which lies ahead. As you strengthen your faith to step out in my stead, no more uncertainty, my children, no more confusion, no more doubt, no more hesitation. Simply trust in me as you step out. Never on your own, never alone, but together. I am eternal, my love everlasting. Before time began, I am. When time ends, I am. Never will I leave you or forsake you. You are my own. I created you in love, in my image. I created you, spirit. When you were held captive by the evil one, ground bound in the world, living a life of self-destruction leading to death, in love and compassion, I, Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, came down from my glory and entered your world. Like you in every way, I came but for a while to stay, to show you the heart of the Father, full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of forgiveness, full of grace, to show you the better way, that you might know the depth of my love, see my faith, to give you a choice between life and death, between living in the world, choosing to walk in the path to eternal death, or dying to self and embracing life, Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. For the joy set before me, I willingly gave my all, my life in sacrifice. I ask each one today for the joy set before me to do the same, to give your life willingly as a living sacrifice to the glory of my name, to die to self in order to live. Anything less will not suffice. Nothing in the world is compatible or in harmony with me. The reason I've taken you out of it, do you see? No longer of this world, you now walk on higher ground. Your life you live in me, no longer ground bound but truly set free. The life you now live in the body, you live alone by faith in me, so it is and ever will be, for I am your life. I am your destiny. Never on your own, never alone, but together. That together we can move out and offer life abundant and free. To the lost and the dying, yes, new life in me, as I've shown you the way, and you follow me, for the mandate I received from my Father, I pass on to you, my body, it's a body ministry. But let us tarry a while. Is there still something that hinders, something holding you back? Look within, consider, is it someone, or yet not, or some small thing? Not yet surrendered and to which you still cling? Bring all to the cross and lay it down at my feet. Bring it into the light. Be cleansed once more before entering the fight. For it is imperative for each one to believe and to step out in faith and in love. A spirit-filled cord of three strands, filled too with the power of my spirit sent from above. What is it still stops you? Why still hesitation, even procrastination? Can it be that you're still afraid to step into this unknown situation? Yes, unknown territory to you, but not to me. I am God and there is no other. There is none like me. What I've said, that I will bring about. What I've planned, that I will do. I've saved you and called you to a holy life because of my purpose and grace. Trust in me. I make known the end from the beginning. Take my hand, my purpose will stand. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. But more, yes, I have called you, each one individually by name. But now you are one body, united in my name, the name above all names, Jesus. And this is why we're praying for that unity now. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, kingdom fruit, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now I ask you to take up the challenge, to set your heart on things above, where I'm seated at the right hand of my Father, to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with me in my Father. It is time to sit up and take note. But more, it's time to awake from your slumber, to stand up tall, be seen ready to step out. Often we have spoken of today and today of hardened hearts and today, acknowledging and take heart this day that I, the Lord, am God in heaven and above and on earth below. There's no other. And yes, again, today I say you have heard the word, you have received the love, you have been taught and guided, you are equipped and ready, brother along brother, loving each other, a body ministry. I am the head, you are my body, on whom I bestow my love and my power. Now take up your place in this hour, for what are you waiting? Time waits for no man, and late grows the hour. Often, so often we have spoken of these things. I have called you, you have heard, you have answered, yes, Lord. You have tried with your good intentions to pave the way, but very soon you wavered. Your enthusiasm waned, and again came that day when many returned to needless, worthless ways, slipping back into merely good works, content within your comfort zone to stay. I, the Lord, now urge you, yes, earnestly with your unfailing support, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in me. Preserve in seeking me. My heart is towards you. Persist in reflecting my faith, my face. My eyes are upon you. Steadfastly lean upon me. My arms are around you. I embrace you. Never cease trusting in me. My hope is within you. I am your life. I am your destiny. And then he carries on. Oh, the choice. Yes, it remains your choice, each one. I ask you today to open your hearts and see my voice. The choices, there are but two, to choose to say yes, Lord, and enter the fray, or deliberately turn your back and go your own way. But my child, where will you go? There is no way you can hide, for my spirit is eternally right there with you, living inside, and I will not relent until I have it all. Surrender, my child, see my love, hear my call today. Again, I tell you, the vehicle is love, the driver my spirit. You step abroad willingly and travel where he leads. I ask for the going without the knowing. Trust in me. Trust me to direct as the journey proceeds. Again, this is to protect you from the mindset that before every pitfall that you might lie ahead. You stop dead in your tracks or turn back instead. I am God of the future. And so embrace me today. Go, go, go. And then as we come to the end, remember it is my love alone, not your own. Everlasting and filled with unfailing kindness, mercy, forgiveness, generosity and grace. My heart is for all mankind, no matter to what depths they have fallen, no matter what race. Let my light shine through you. Let them see my face. Go and show me to the nations. Tell them of my love to the lost and to the dying, as to those who have fallen by the way. Give them hope and a future in me. Show them my face. Let them see me. Give it to all who come your way. Let no one pass you by or go astray, not seeing and experiencing my love through you, as long as it is today. Again, look within and consider prayerfully and carefully as you're able, willingly to say, "Search me, my God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is no offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. For no longer can you do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. I have chosen you, I have called you by name, never on your own, never alone, together until that day." Now, this was way back, and it's very relevant even today as we surrender and go with God. So this was also, many of these prophetic words was released that was helping us as a family of God to begin to understand the way forwards. So as we were coming out of a church mindset and stepping into the kingdom of God consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So as we are stepping into out of our own efforts of what goodness was, what our truth was, and what our life was all about, something took place. And that is when God started to speak to us concerning what genuine truth is, what genuine faith is, what it was to have died to the old man in Christ Jesus. And so he started to speak to us from Paul's letter to in Romans. And he spoke to us what is true faith, what is religious faith, what is demonic faith, and what is our own personal faith. And so he started to show us what real faith was all about and how to experience the substance of faith. And so from a place where we spoke about the kingdom from reading and knowing that's true, to the place where the kingdom has a substance now. It's very real, very tangible, because that's what faith is. It's fully the full persuasion that what God says is absolute truth, and that truth is alive, it's living, it's active. So the faith that is inside of us concerning the promise of God is alive, it's active, it is a substance to it, it's not just a wish. And that's very important for all of us in fighting, as Paul writes to Timothy, fight the good fight with the prophecies with faith and a clear conscience. So faith is crucial, pure God faith. And this faith is alive within you. You know it. That's why the substance is alive within you. It's very, very real. And you renew your mind to that truth. So your mind now is in line. It's been submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Take every thought captive and make it submitted unto the Lordship of Jesus. And so this is the reality. So God started to tell us and share with us more and more of how to go forwards. And so a major step was for us to begin to really understand the difference between the different faiths. So it's God faith that we live in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we were taught from this, the example of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, where God spoke to Abraham and Abraham simply believed. And as he simply believed, every promise of God, we receive by that simple faith. So the faith that Abraham received as he heard from God is God faith. God then credited Abraham with his righteousness. And that is when God declared, "Abraham, you are righteous because you simply believed." And so God took us in that incredible journey of understanding the faith. He took us into that next step, which was so important, is to understand, when did we die? And so we started to get an understanding that we died when Christ died, so that we can rise up in the new life in Christ Jesus, having the power of sin, having the guilt of sin, having the punishment of sin dealt with once and for all in our lives. So we don't have to now worry about and become sin conscious. We don't have to now try and do stuff to try and make sure that we've done enough when we're getting close to our deathbed experience. No, Christ has done it all. And we simply receive what He has done on our behalf. It's a grace gift. It's a gift. And so out of moving out of a church mindset where it was our good works, etc., into the kingdom and receiving the incredible grace that flows from our King Jesus, and we partake and receive all the gifts that He has given to us and what He has blessed us, we walk in faith. So when God spoke to us way back in 98, and He spoke about 1947, and He shared about the incredible reality of the kingdom of God will be chief amongst the mountains. So we look at the kingdom of politics, we look at the kingdom of crime, we look at the kingdom of whatever it may be, or philosophies, you name it, all those different kingdoms that are all around. We are in a kingdom, we've been born again, we've stepped into a kingdom of light. And God has spoken that His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will not be shaken. And on top of this mountain was this building, which was at that time representing the body of Christ, the temple of we, the building of the Holy Spirit, the family of God, top of this mountain. So we are the family in the kingdom of God, and the glory of God, the light of God within us is shining all around us and above us, so that the others in the darkness can see the light. So He spoke very clearly there. And ever since we've been waging war, we've been focused because we simply believe. And we've been going forwards, moving in that word. And God spoke there in Isaiah chapter 4 that the glory of God will be the canopy. There will be the fire of His Spirit working and burning and dealing with the stuff within our lives, so that at the end we will be known as holy people, and His glory will be such a revelation, because the glory is the revelation of Christ within us, His truth, His life touching people's lives. So we've been waging war, and we've been walking in the faith all the time going forwards in these areas. And so as we've been going on and on this journey, another very important step that He gave to us that with this God-given faith we are able to receive every promise of God for our lives, for our nation and the nations. Every gift that God has given to us, by faith we receive that. And this is something that we are growing in. This is part of our journey, because I'm just saying, because we were taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Remember Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. We were taken out of the kingdom of darkness. And as we looked on Wednesday, where we know that the whole world is controlled by Satan. So his methodology, his schemes, his plans, his ways are all involved in the world system, in this world. We've been taken out, and we are in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And if we are not walking in true God-given faith, it's not long where we are now allowing ourselves to come under the influence of the demonic way, the methodology of the Satan's schemes. And if we're not walking by faith, we cannot fight the good warfare. with the prophecies God has given us, if we are now allowing ourselves to think and to our emotions to be influenced by unbelief, because we've now surrendering ourselves to place ourselves under the reality of Satan who controls the whole world. That's not us. That's why it's a rise and shine. That is why for us to know the reality of a God faith, that we live in the kingdom of God and we do not place ourselves and get influenced and sucked in by all that stuff that's taking place, because we're no longer there. We've been redeemed. We've been rescued out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light of the Son that He loves. By His blood we have been redeemed. That's who we are. So we've got to have this mind. We've got to have our heart. We've got to have this faith very, very real within us. It's so, so crucial in going ahead where we are going. Things aren't going to get better. Jesus was very, very clear about the kingdoms will all be shaken, but not His kingdom. For us, it's going to be great because we are in an unshaken kingdom and our faith is solid, our faith is secure, our faith is anchored in Jesus Christ and what He has done, who He is. So we can face and we can go and we can advance the kingdom. We can let His light shine so that people can come into the kingdom of God. So this faith is a big thing that we need to consider and to be able to receive as we go on. And I think all of us are going through tests to help us in our faith, to learn how to receive, to learn how to stand in the promise of God and to see the breakthrough. God is faithful. So it's part of the journey of us learning. And then as we've been praying in that John 17, the very first part of that prayer, when Jesus spoke about Father, and He said, Father, and God spoke to us and He said to us very clearly, family, I want you to surrender to the fatherhood of God so that you and I, so that we know what it is to be loved by our Father. We love because He first loved us. And so as we began on this recent journey of praying for the community and praying for the family of God, it was a very clear word for us to say, Father, I surrender to Your fatherhood. I need to know what it is to be loved by You. Because in this incredible being loved by the Father, it places us in a position of tremendous safety, security, of confidence, of going ahead, knowing we can go ahead into the future because we are so loved by the Father. And to begin to experience and taste the reality of what it is to be loved. So it's no longer just a word, but we are experiencing the love of God within. It's a substance. It's real. Because by faith we've received the love of God by the Holy Spirit. And so I don't know if you have surrendered your life to be loved by the Father. Because for many it's a risk. Because it's unknown. Can I trust God? See, I don't have a good revelation of God yet. So I'm battling. I can't trust God. You've got all these voices shouting in a person's head about all the stuff that you've heard about Christians and missionaries, or you name it, and all this kind of stuff. I can't trust God. If I can control my own destiny, it's better. At least I'm in the driving seat. However, way back in 1998, March, there was a prophecy about the ship. And the ship had no oars. Because it was, Jesus was the captain of the ship. It had sails for the Holy Spirit to blow and move us. And we didn't have the oars to try and control the ship. Faith in the destiny that God has for you and I as a family and as an individual. Total faith. So we're having to learn the reality of faith, what it is to be loved by the Father. It's a good place to be. Recently, the 1 John 4:17. As He is, so are we. Is Jesus loved by the Father? So are we. As the Father loves Jesus, so He loves us. No difference. Remember, it's Jesus as He is, not as He was on the earth as a man. He's glorified. As He is, so are we. And part of living in that, growing in the reality of being loved by our Father, that scripture becomes so, so real. As He is, so are we here on this earth. Not what we will be here on this earth. That's why the question the other day was, what has the glorification of Jesus got to do with you and I? As He is, so are we here on this earth. Spend time on that. Seek. It's like an onion peel of the onion of love getting peeled. Maybe onion of love is not a good word, but it's got those layers of love, just layer after layer after layer of God just peeling. And to be in a place where it's not a scripture, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not just a word, it's a substance, it's real. To live as He is, so are we. That communication, so are we. That perfection, so are we. There's a lot there. So that's part of us surrendering to be loved. So, faith was a big part. Having died with Christ Jesus, been raised with Him, surrendering to the Father's love, to be loved by Him. And the last thing that I wanted to speak about is the unity, as we've been praying in John 17. Let them be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, and they in us. Let them be one. May they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me, and I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you on me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is such a big thing because the way forwards is a surrendered life. Total oneness with Jesus and say, Jesus, wherever you go, we go. That is why the faith, that is why the surrendering to the being loved by the Father is so crucial, so that we're able to be able to say, Lord Jesus, wherever you go, wherever you lead, we go, without hesitation. And that word back in 2013, what's the hesitation? What's the apprehension? What is it there that still is there that's preventing us from just going wherever God tells us to go. Let's be loved by the Father. Amen. So we've got an incredible way ahead. God is busy sharing, as we shared the other day. He told us to pray for the family of God. It's so important. But already he's starting to speak about how to pray for the nation and the nations. So that will start to unfold for us. That is why we're not a church. That is why we don't have membership. We don't have all those kind of things, because we're in the kingdom. And we live as children in the kingdom. That's it. Christ is our King. And we are loved by the Father. We walk in faith and express that faith through love. And when He says what He says, we say, "Yes, Lord," we do it. And the Holy Spirit guides us as we go forwards. Simple. Not complicated. So please sign your membership forms there, and then there's the obligation if you don't. Terms and conditions. Yeah. So as we have communion this morning, you might want to look back in your own journey and just see the faithfulness of God. And how He's been, the grace of God, His involvement of God in your life, in your family's life. And you sit back and, "Oh Jesus, thank you." Because He's involved with every little detail of our lives. I'm reading through David and Saul, and just looking at the incredible involvement in all of this. Nothing escapes the eyes of God. We're seeking the answers for Russia and for Kenya and for all over the world. And you see how the kings, every king, God has a sign and has a purpose. And nothing escapes God when it comes to the nations. He's so involved in every little detail, and everything that has been destroyed by the power of sin. The blood of Jesus reconciles. And we are part of bringing about the ministry of reconciliation to the nations. So we've got an amazing future if we go forwards in God's incredible agenda for the nations. The nations is Christ's inheritance. Just like our town. And that's what we pressing in. Amen. Okay. So Father, we want to thank you as we just reflect back a little bit of the past, because now we're stepping into the depth of glory, the reality of glory. Lord, you are showing us how to walk and how to live in a kingdom that is light, as children of light, clothed with the armor of light. You are showing us, Lord Jesus, when in your life, as Peter was speaking in Acts 10:38, when you were speaking and he said that you, Lord Jesus, you were beginning with John the Baptist, you were baptized, but you were anointed with the Spirit and with power, and you went around doing good, healing the sick, and setting the people free that were held in captivity by the devil. Your kingdom consists of all goodness, and you are the example of what goodness really is. So we thank you as your goodness touches the people, even when we think they do not deserve, no matter how far lost and deep and dark people may be. Because we were once there, and it was your goodness involved in bringing us out and leading us to repentance. So we want to thank you, Jesus, as we eat together and we drink together, celebrating what you have done for us and who you are. We want to thank you for being our example of how to live in this world. And so today we again speak and we say, your kingdom is amongst us here because you are here and we can eat in your kingdom. As you said, you eagerly wait for the time where we can eat together in your kingdom. Today we eat in your kingdom and we want to thank you for the privilege of eating together. So we receive, Lord, what you are sharing. We thank you for your grace and your incredible goodness. But today, Lord, there are folk here that are going to be asking you for a touch. And I want to thank you as they ask, you will touch them. You will minister to them. I want to thank you for what you are about to do in our lives as we just simply ask you and we receive. Glory belongs to you. And this we receive again in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.